EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. Our guest this episode is Tom, and he is coming to us from Devon in the United Kingdom. Tom will be telling us about 3 separate sightings he experienced, the first being in the 1990s in a town called Ivybridge at the southern part of Dartmoor National Park. Okay, a big thank you to this week's 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts. And they are Kimmuth C from the US, Anne in Windsor from Canada, and Tara and Paul from Australia. Big thank you to everyone that left a review. It really helps the show to become more visible and reach more listeners.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated.
Hello, everyone. You are invited to enjoy my new video podcast series, Paralyzed Phenomena Explored. I examine the paranormal, extraterrestrial, and other mysteries. Please visit my website at www.paralyzedphenomenaexplored.com to access my podcast, share your personal experiences, and shop for paranormal merchandise. Thank you for joining me on my adventures.
Hello and welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Great to have you on today, man. You're calling all the way from Devon in the UK.
That's right, yes, yeah. Near the border to Cornwall, actually, in the city of Plymouth. That's where I'm living at the moment.
Just south of me, really.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you live in the Cotswolds, don't you?
I'm in the Cotswolds, that's right, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Nice to be in the countryside, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you have 3 sightings for us today, going back to the 90s?
Yeah, that's right, yes, yeah. The first one, I think, was extremely profound. I'll explain it. I'll explain like a bit of the background. So, back in the 90s, I was living with my mum in Ivybridge, which is 10 miles east of Plymouth. So I went to school. It was just me and my mum living there. And she was always very into like astronomy, which I found was really cool. Got me really into astronomy and like the stars and galaxies and quantum physics and stuff like that. She was talking about this a lot because she was doing a course in like a science degree in it at the time with Open University. So Yeah, it was really interesting. So, but also listening to your previous show, you had a guy on that was afraid of had like some unexplainable kind of fear of greys, and I found it quite interesting because it reminded me when I was like around that time in the 90s, Mum watched films about that sort of thing, and she watched Fire in the Sky. And I remember watching it, and it really freaks me out. And which is really, really good to like actually hear the real story by Travis Walton and what actually happened sounds far more nicer than the way the film. Anyway, so yeah, I was watching that, and yeah, I was kind of had that fear of greys quite severely at times, and like didn't want to go up to my room and stuff like that. But yeah, on the positive side, you know, it was fascinated me at the same time, and being into space and stuff, we watched these comets up in the sky. I think it was Comet Hyakutake was the first one, which was, I think it was in the summer of 1996. And then there was Comet Hale-Bopp, I think in 1997 during the like autumn, winter sort of time. Yeah, I used to go on like, I remember having this one trip up on Dartmoor, where there's quite low light pollution actually on Dartmoor, because it's kind of, the only major city is Plymouth on one side and this kind of Exeter on the other side, really. So there's only two major cities, and Dartmoor's quite a big stretch of land, so it's like open moorland. So yeah, we used to go up there and go on astronomy club and seeing the comets and stuff like that. It was just blew my mind. It enchanted me, you know, getting really into space, and I've always been fascinated since then, really. So yeah, like this sighting was around that time the comets were over us. I can't remember the exact year, but I know I think it was 1996 during the first comet, Hyakutake. Now, I wasn't like massively as into UFOs, you know, as I am now, but at the time it just really surprised me, because I was out in the garden. Every clear night, me and my mum would look out in the garden. We'd walk out. We had a nice garden. It faced towards the west, which would be towards the city of Plymouth. And there was quite a bit of light pollution on the horizon. But because we lived on the edge of Dartmoor, we had quite a bit of low light pollution to like behind the house, behind the house when you're out in the garden. There was a lot of starlight. And over Dartmoor, Dartmoor's kind of, when you look out west, like out straight out from the kitchen door, which opened out to the garden, you look straight ahead of you, and you'd have the western sky of Plymouth in the beyond the horizon, but you'd still see that light pollution out there. So so this one night, I just went out on my own this time to do a bit of stargazing, and we saw this. Well, I saw this. I thought it was a satellite. It was moving. It was moving quite a bit faster than a satellite, probably about three times the speed of a satellite. And I managed to caught it with my eyes just flying from the rooftop, well, like way above the house, obviously, like amongst the stars. But like it flew from east behind the house across the sky towards the west. I was facing south in the garden looking at it, right, and it was overhead. And straight away, because my mum was in the kitchen door opens out to the garden. So straight away I called my mum out. I was like, "Mum, what's this? You know, like, come out, check this out." So she came out, and as soon as she came out, this is the weird thing, because it was moving in a direct straight line, east to west, over the head. Oh, let me just say one more thing. It was I was, just to get a bit of a picture, like, I was facing south, and it was it was above my head, but not directly above. So it was above the southern horizon, but way above, if you know what I mean. Like, I wasn't looking like directly up, but it was kind of 70 degree angle or something like that. So yeah, as soon as my mum came out, this fast moving star, it looked like a fast moving star, she came out, and it just completely, it was strange because it just went off course. It almost like kind of softly jerked off course, which is a strange wave. I'm just trying to put the best words for a visual here. It's kind of like it kind of softly jerked off course into a diagonal, and then like almost in like split second, or like maybe 1 or 2 seconds, it went off course again. It jerked off course again into an arched diagonal going the other way. And this was all as its forward trajectory was still, it still had forward speed. So it was kind of going off course one way and then zigzagging to the other course the other way. But at first it's kind of just looked like it was just altering course until it carried on zigzagging in the sky. And this zigzag was sort of like a curved, sort of arced zigzag. So if you could imagine kind of a shallow angle it was turning at first. So it was like it jerked off course one way, then off course the other way. And then it got tighter and tighter into like smaller and smaller zigzags until it kind of did this semicircle, this final semicircle, and stopped. It kind of it turned and then just stopped, and it was just paused in the sky. Me and my mum were just both watching, looking at this light. It just looked like a star that paused in the sky. And obviously watching all these movies and stuff, I mean, mum got a little bit, I was just like awestruck, really, a bit dumbfounded. I was like, what? But mum just ran back in. She was like, screw this, I'm going back in. And then this is the strange thing, because as soon as she went back in, the light carried on moving in a straight line on its western journey towards the city of the direction of the west, towards the city of Plymouth, where I live now. But at the time, I was living in Ivybridge. So yeah, and so I think I just watched it just disappear into the kind of orange haze of the light pollution off in the Plymouth skyline that was just beyond the horizon. I just feel like, I think what was interesting about that is that it had some connection with my mum, because it was only when she came out that this light just suddenly went off course into a diagonal, and then it went into that zigzag. It looked like the movement it was doing was almost trying to slow itself down, because it almost 100%, you know, 90% sure that this thing looked like it was trying to slow down to turn back on itself and look back, almost in a sort of, because it seemed very intrigued somehow with, I don't know if it has some connection with my mum's consciousness, like something maybe my mum didn't know, you know, because I know that she's slightly psychic she had this thing where she visualized lottery numbers, and she got those numbers down and it lost. So then she just gave up, dismissed it. And then the next week, the lottery came around and all the numbers came up, but the bonus number. So she's little things like that. She's got some like kind of psychic abilities that if she worked on it, you know, she could, you know, I don't know. But I don't know if that was to do with why, you know, because I tend to think that, well, since that moment, I've always thought that, well, there must be some connection with consciousness and these intelligent moving lights. I don't know. It sounds purely because of what happened, you know. It didn't seem, you know, maybe if my mum didn't come out, it would have carried on in a straight line and I would have thought, oh, that was a fast moving star. I still would have been intrigued by it, but no, yeah, it's just the way it went off course. It was, and then tried to stop. It just looked like it, you know, because the final turn, it was going much slower and it was able just to turn in a semicircle and just stop. That was that one that definitely changed my perception of, you know, like, because if I was to ask quantum physics and stuff like that, I mean, I guess there's no evidence physically, but there's so much evidence with video footage and stuff like that, and all the people that you have on the show, you know, like all these people, witnesses to all these crazy things. we can't all be, you know, we can't all be lying. I mean, I've heard some very, you know, there was a guy that used to work on the North Sea oil rigs, and he was, he's in his 70s now. This was back in the 70s, apparently, in the North Sea, where he was, like, engineering some of the first rigs, and he saw stuff, you know, and he's like, not someone who lied. He's very quite serious. Obviously, he likes having a laugh and stuff, but he comes across usually as very serious, very matter of fact. So, yeah, just hearing these stories of so many people I know. So there's another sighting I had was around the same sort of time, actually. It would have been around in the 90s when I was at school. I think it was probably towards the end of school, because we were very lucky, because in the village of Ivy Bridge, there used to be a bus that would go to Bigbury in South Devon, which is a real nice stretch of coast. So we used to camp out at a beach near there called Shallowborough every summer holiday. We'd get the bus there and we'd stay there for days, and in our sleeping bags, and you know, go surfing and stuff like that. But this one night, and I remember it used to happen quite a lot. I used to wake up about 3 a.m, you know, because we'd all make a fire on the beach and have a few beers and stuff. I'd wake up and about 2, half 2, 3 a.m, and I don't know if you've had it, but sometimes when you're camping out, you expect, because you're like in such a deep sleep, you expect when you open your eyes to see your own bedroom ceiling, just to be surprised with, oh my gosh, there's a hell of a lot of stars right ahead, right in front of me, looking right up there. So I always used to wake up at around that time for some strange reason, yeah, and just be a bit like shocked by seeing like a galaxy there instead of my bedroom ceiling. It was interesting this one night, because I remember you had a Terry Lovelace on one of your previous shows, which, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, his story blew my mind. We've got his audiobook after that. But yeah, the first, I had similar sightings to his very first sighting of the three stars in a triangular formation moving across the horizon. This is a very, very short sighting. I won't go into this one too much, but yeah, it just reminded me when I heard this on your show of, oh my gosh, yeah. There was a triangular formation of stars moving overhead. This was during the time I opened my eyes, 3 a.m, and there it was, just this. I've never seen anything like it before, never seen anything like it since. And it was literally almost like triangular formation of, I could say satellites, but I don't think back in the 90s they had satellite constellations like that. And I've never seen anything like it since. I gather that the most impressive satellite formation is the SpaceX train. I haven't seen that yet, but I'd like to. But I think that's the most impressive satellite display that we have in the modern technology. But back in the 90s, since then or before then, I've never seen a triangle formation of stars moving overhead, and it just slowly moved overhead, and I just followed it, and you know, it just made me wonder, you know, maybe. If that was similar to what Terry Lovelace saw, maybe it could have been a ship that was similar to that. I mean, I didn't quite see it. The stars disappearing between it, because it's quite far, quite high. I didn't see any stars going through it either. So I just didn't remember. It was quite a while ago now.
We will be back with Tom after 12 Hour Avenue with Worth the Days.
Thank you.
Worth the Days by 12 Hour Avenue. These guys are a rock duo from Buckinghamshire in the United Kingdom. Worth checking these guys out. Links to them are in the show notes and on our podcast website, ufochroniclespodcast.com.
But so the third sighting, this one was very strange. I was, again, it was on another beach in South Devon. I'll tell you what, Nick, you've got to come down and visit sometime. There's some lovely beaches down here.
I've heard beautiful.
Yeah, it's stunning. There's this one beach called Onewell Beach, and it's basically it's a river mouth, you know. So the river comes out into the sea at that point. I don't know if it's an estuary. Two beaches facing each other because there's a river, and the beach I was on was facing west. And if you walk along the beach towards the sea, where the river meets the sea, you can kind of follow it around to the left a bit, and then there's a coastal walk over the cliffs. So yeah, it's a place that we often go, even now, during the summer, because it's a nice place to have a fire. It's very quiet. And you just hear there's lots of bird life and stuff like that. So, just to get a picture of the scene, there were three of us friends. We were sat around a fire. So we'd started this fire a while ago as the sun was going down. And we were just sitting and chatting and stuff like that, taking in the evening. It was a really nice evening. It was a spring evening. So it was spring in 2015, I think it was. I actually reported this to MUFON, but I think I might have got the date wrong. So sorry, MUFON. I had a bit more thought about it. I think it was pretty much certainly to be 2015. Anyway, so it was getting later into dusk. The sun had set quite a while ago. And the stars were starting to show directly overhead. So towards the eastern sky, there was more stars to be seen. And to the western sky, there was still that kind of, do you know, that like kind of turquoise green kind of glow, afterglow of daylight still there. And you could see the tree line to the other beach across the river, silhouetted against this kind of greeny turquoise sort of glow of daylight that was still left. And we were just sitting and chatting around the fire, and we were sat under a tree line ourselves on our side. So yeah, beautiful place, really beautiful. We were sitting around having this fire, and I just looked up, looking up at the stars. We were all looking up at the stars, and towards the west from this afterglow of daylight, it looked like a plane coming over. And I was like, oh yeah, it's a plane. That's quite... But because it was dusk, you don't usually see kind of low flying, your standard one propeller at the front, straight wings, low flying airplane, you know. So it was about the size of this, size of that. And it was... Just flying towards right overhead from the glow. There was no, you couldn't make out the shape of this plane. It was just the lights. So it was like, had two, if you can imagine, two looked like landing lights almost. Two very bright stars, or two very bright points of light, one following the other, but very close, as if they were fixed together. And then there was two either side that looked like the ends of the wings. So it was basically, you could only see four lights, but like the two lights were very close together in the middle, quite bright. And the other ones, were either side, like the wing lights. They were kind of more, how do I describe it? They were less bright, but sharp lights. I'll explain that more in a bit, but I was just saying, you know, it's like, guys, what kind of gliders fly this time of night? You know, it's like coming into dusk, and looks like a plane, mate. And I was like, yeah, but it's not making a noise, you know. It's like, and one of my friends said, yeah, it is. And then we listened out for it, and it wasn't making a noise. He was like, oh no, it's not making a noise actually. Oh, it's probably a glider then. Yeah, you're probably right. So I was just watching it. I was like, what gliders fly at night? Yeah, so I then we watched it come overhead. We were all a bit intrigued because it just wasn't making a sound. And there was sort of a bit of mystery about it. It looks a bit mysterious. So I decided to, being into UFOs already, I was like, this does look strange. So I stood up and went down the banks of the river to follow it as it went overhead behind to the east into the more starry sort of sky. And as it met the first few stars, like just overhead to the right of me as it was going east, there was some sort of strange look to it. It kind of made me feel quite awe-inspired. I don't know why. It was like it was the same size as a low-flying glider. Well, if you could imagine a glider in the sky, but at normal altitude, a glider you would see if it came overhead, you know. And I was thinking, it's got no flashing lights. It's got no red lights, no green lights, no particularly white lights. It was just these four lights. The two in the middle were sort of bright. They're kind of like, if you can imagine the space station, they're a bit like that. The space station's most bright point, you see it in the sky. It was like two space stations directly one in front of the other, very, very close together, extremely close. But like kind of this, yeah, it was basically like that, with a little bit of blue hint to the light, extremely bright. And then I noticed that the lights either side, as it was flying overhead, they were kind of like a blue shade of ultraviolet, if you imagine that. And they sort of had a kind of same effect of a twinkling star that's quite sharp, a sharp sort of light. But they weren't twinkling; they're sort of like fading in and out randomly fading in and out of dim to brighter to dimmer to brighter. The two lights in the middle were that persistent, but it's the ones either side were kind of fadely, like gradually kind of fading and brightening. It was very strange. But what struck me was how the lights look quite sharp, you know, almost crystal-like. I don't know, not like I was seeing crystals, but just to get an image of how sharp the lights looked, it was strange, almost as if, well, so basically, it was as if the sun, this is the strange thing, because I followed these lights thinking that they were going to go through the tree line as they flew over the trees behind us where we were having the fire. So as I followed it over, I was expecting it to retain its shape as it flashed through the leaves of the trees as it flew over. But it didn't do that. It slowed, but it slowed as if it was meaning that it was a very high altitude. If it was a low altitude plane, it would have retained its shape as it went through the tree line. But this kind of just, it faded into two lights as it went into the starry sky. It faded into two lights. So the lights either side kind of gradually faded, disappeared. Then the two lights faded into one. And then it just disappeared into the night sky to the east. It didn't do any crazy maneuvers or anything, but I just had to question it, you know. Like, so it must have been, described what it looked like to me was something that hit the sun like a satellite. Like the sun must have been reflecting off this object or this collection of four lights, what I thought were lights. And because they faded, just like if you could track the space station as it moves away from where the sun had set, you know that it's going to fade and fade at some point because the sun's not reaching anymore. Well, this did exactly the same thing. It didn't even reach the tree line where my friends were sat underneath with having the fire. It way above it started to fade out. So I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, like if this is the height of a satellite, like maybe a low, you know, just maybe skimming the atmosphere. I don't know if it's a low orbit or whatever it was. Well, I say orbit. I think it was doing a flyby because I've never seen anything like that since. It must be high enough to be hitting the sunlight, yet massive because it's the same size as a low-flying glider. So if this thing had a wingspan, it would be absolutely colossal because the space station, I guess, if you look at it, it'd be quite a big vehicle, but it only looks like a point of light when you're looking up at the sky as it's orbiting over the top of your head. So this thing, I just couldn't even imagine the size of this thing. It could have been a formation, which is true. It could have been a formation. But it did look to be probably more likely to be a formation of lights that were fixed in some way, as if it was on an object. But it just faded like a satellite would. And how big? What is the area? You know, the surface area of the space between each light or each reflective unknown object. So I was looking into satellite constellations and stuff like that. I was looking online. I was looking for like most of the day, the next day, because I was just fascinated. And it seemed like back in 2015, there didn't seem to be much in the way of. I think they had very small satellites that might not even be visible because they're so small. But kind of two connected to each other. But I don't know. I need to research it again. But satellite constellations would usually be at different points around the planet, I think. The weird thing is that I've never seen anything like it before, and I've never seen anything like it since. It didn't do any crazy manoeuvres, but it definitely made me question. What made it so interesting was the fact that it just made me quite... it took me back when I looked up at it. I think that's the best way I can describe it. It took me back. I was quite mesmerised. It had a mesmerising quality. I think it's the sharpness and the crystal-like style of the lights. They're crystal-style lights, as if they were shards of crystal super high. Can't see the shape of them, but they're refracting the light in a very sharp way. That's definitely... I'm glad I said that, because that's how I felt when I saw it. Going more into the memory now, looking up at it in awe.
Okay, one more from this week's featured band, 12 Hour Avenue, with Waiting For.
I don't mind what you're doing.
small sighting I had literally the other day. I was with my girlfriend looking up at the moon. I've got these really good binoculars, and they've got a stabilizer so it doesn't, not too shaky. So it stops the shake when you're looking at the moon. The moon kind of fills your vision when you're looking through them. They're really good Canon ones. This thin layer of cloud went over the moon. They were quite well lit by the moon. You could see like the light refraction even through the binos. It was really cool. So the moon had quite long ago risen from the horizon. So it's about 50 degree angle overhead. Starting to get quite high in the sky. It's like, do you know when you see like a hawk or even a seagull, you know, like when it's caught a thermal and it's super high in the sky, you can't barely make out what it is, and then you realise it's a bird, but it's like kind of flying with the wind. It can be moving quite fast, especially if you're looking at something like that through the binoculars. This was at 10 at night, very recently, only a few days ago, and this object was silhouetted as if it was moving like a bird flying with the wind very, very high, but I couldn't quite make out the shape. It zipped past my view, like, in a matter of no time. And I was like, oh, it must have been a bird flying really high at 10 o'clock at night, you know. It's like, well, which way is the wind going? And I realised that the wind was going the other way, so it was moving against the wind with that speed, which I found very weird. The wind was like a northeasterly wind, and this was moving from west to east. So it was like, the wind was like east-northeast, and this was moving from west towards the east. So it just zipped in front of my view, and I couldn't hear no plane or anything like that. Again, definitely wasn't a fighter jet or anything. So there was not one sound of a plane. And it wasn't an insect or something, because it would have been flying with the wind, not against it. So anyway, that was just a small sighting I had the other day. Going back to the first one, with the zigzagging star-like object, I do think there is a connection to consciousness with whatever, you know, a lot of these sightings we have.
I think you might be right with that, Tom.
Yeah. I don't know also, though, because there's obviously a nuclear submarine base in Plymouth. I don't know if it was interested in checking out the submarine base. I don't know.
Well, they certainly are attracted to areas and facilities like that.
Yeah, and maybe it was on its way there, and then my it's as if it was like zipping its way towards perhaps the naval nuclear submarine base in the dockyard at Plymouth, but then distracted by my mum coming out and seeing it, so it thought, oh blimey, better turn around and stop. How do I do this? I better zigzag to slow my trajectory, my speed down.
Very possibly. I mean, I remember those, you know, back in 97 with the Hale Bopp. It was just hanging in the sky, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely stunning. And did you see the one the year before as well? Hayakutake, named by a Japanese guy.
I do remember, but I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah. That was, I guess, because that was the first one I saw. Hale Bopp was, like, amazing. But, no. I'll tell a lie. I was amazed by both of them. I mean, Hale Bopp was more, it was a very classic comet shape, wasn't it?
That's right. I remember when the when Halley's Comet came around. I mean, back in I think it was 85, 86.
Ah, yes.
And I didn't see it because it was cloudy, but I did dream about it. But I dreamt about it, and it was the Bayer Tapestry version.
Oh wow! And that's that came in your dream as it was going over.
That's how I saw it in my dream. Was it was like the Bayer Tapestry.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, talking of dreams, actually. Because I got quite into like meditation and stuff like that, and I really wish I knew like how far the time was between seeing this zigzag object in Ivy Bridge between then and the dream I had. I had this dream. I was like lying in a bed in my dream, and it was my dream bedroom. It wasn't anything like my bedroom, but the light was on, and there's this big window that was like kind of open. So it was basically like a big opening in the wall, like that I just saw as the window. I was looking out into the night sky. I think it was like a dream version of Dartmoor outside, and it was all dark outside. But I was kind of real comfortable in the dream. And then I saw this moving star, and it reminded me of the one that I saw in Ivy Bridge. And then what it did, it flew into the window, this big opening square that was the window. And then went like a ping pong ball in the lampshade that was on the ceiling. It just went brrr, and then dropped onto my chest. I picked it up. It was a sphere with hieroglyphics all over it. I really wish I could remember what the actual symbols were. I remember there being hieroglyphics on it, but I cannot remember the actual symbols. I just know they were hieroglyphics, like quite bold ones, I guess, like similar to the ones in Rendlesham Forest, you know, like, but maybe not. I don't know. I need to have hypnosis or like a regression into that dream to write down the symbols, but
get the memory out.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know if that was any. I don't know, because if they're connected to consciousness, like when, you know, say with my mum going out to see it and it doing that, reacting to my mum almost turning around to look back, I wonder if, you know, they can get into your dreams as well, right?
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Very unusual sightings there, Tom.
Yeah.
I think gliders fly at night at all, to my knowledge.
No, and if it did, it dematerialised. Because that's what I was saying to my friends. They don't fly at night, yeah.
I've never flown a glider. I've flown in lower training planes like chipmunks and bulldogs, but never a glider. My mother has in a glider. She's been in a glider.
That's cool. I bet that's an amazing experience. I'd love to fly a plane.
I prefer ones with engines as opposed to gliders.
Yeah, I can imagine, right? I remember I was in Cirencester because my auntie lives in Cirencester. Me and my girlfriend went up there. It was actually last Easter, I think it was. She had a thing at her brewery. And yeah, there was loads of gliders flying over there.
I know there's an old MOD airfield up there.
Ah, cool. Yeah, it must have been from somewhere like there. And there was loads of them. They're all circling in a thermal. It's like, there must have been about four of them circling in one thermal at one point.
Yeah, they're certainly beautiful to watch. But yeah, generally it's daytime that you see them, usually on a Sunday or a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly right. And this was nowhere near a plane. No way. Because, it, like I say, right, it was that crystalline sharpness to the lights, you know. I just don't know what that was. Yeah. I mean, at least I know with the first one, that was definitely an intelligent moving light that was connected to consciousness. I know that for sure, you know, pretty damn sure about that. But so strange. Anyway.
To be honest, all three of your sightings are quite strange. I really appreciate you coming on today, Tom. It's been wonderful talking to you today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I love your show, and I'll keep on listening and spreading the word. I'll spread it all to friends who also had experiences. So, yeah, thank you.
Great stuff.
Unfortunately, that is all we have time for today. Special thank you to Tom, our guest, and 12 Hour Avenue for this week's music. And if you want to contact me, you can by either emailing ufochronicles@gmail.com or via our website at www.ufochroniclespodcast.com. I will be back next week with a witness account that sounds like something straight out of a Stephen King movie. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.